This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief at FanDuel and at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 190 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. Last week, I opened up this show talking about how you guys don't really care about the weekly recaps, or at least that's what I had thought. Apparently, you do. I heard from a lot of you via Twitter that you liked the recap of my previous week's picks, even if it was done quickly. And since you guys drive what goes into this podcast, recapping is what I'll do. Last week, things were good at quarterback, they were pretty mediocre at running back, and they were pretty bad at wide receiver. Let's start with the good stuff. At quarterback, I nailed Marcus Mariota, I nailed Blake Bortles, and I nailed Alex Smith. But at running back, I missed Ito Smith, Derrick Henry made Deion Lewis a less desirable option, and LeSean McCoy went off. I did hit on Duke Johnson and Adrian Peterson, but the McCoy miss was pretty bad. I don't think the process was really wrong, but I didn't expect him to have that type of ceiling. And then at wide receiver, Tyler Lockett made me look like a fool once again. MVS wasn't all that great, and neither was Larry Fitzgerald. They weren't egregious misses, but they were misses nonetheless. Before looking at this week's players who I'm higher and lower on versus consensus, I wanted to let you guys know that FanDuel's teamed up with Dash Digital Cash, the fastest digital payment system on the planet, to bring the community a new type of prize and exciting new contests every month. Dash, the evolution of money. Check out the Crypto Cup on FanDuel.com for more info. Dak Prescott has three top eight performances across his last four games. During this stretch, his yards per attempt rate is 7.5. In his five games prior, it was 6.7. And all the while, he's averaging one rushing attempt per game within the opponent's 10-yard line during this four-game stretch. He didn't have one of those attempts during his first five games. So things are looking up for Dak, and this week he'll face an Atlanta secondary that ranks in the bottom five according to NumberFire's schedule-adjusted expected points model. Since week one, the Falcons have allowed each quarterback to score at least 16 fantasy points, and all but one has scored over 20. Dak is a perfect streaming option this week. And I like Marcus Mariota again this week too. Indianapolis continues to be a plus matchup for quarterbacks of late. They've allowed a top 15 performance in each of their last five games, and four of those contests were top eight ones. And they've faced Sam Darnold, Derek Carr, and Blake Bortles over this time. Mariota finally looks healthy. In his last two games, he's posted his two highest yards per attempt rates of the season. So in a game that will be played in a dome with a decent enough over-under, you can look to Mariota as a streaming option once again. And if you want a deeper play, I think Eli Manning is viable. He's been fine in three of his last five outings, and he's facing a Tampa Bay secondary that's allowing the fourth most fantasy points per game to the position. This game is also being played in New York, and the game total is actually pretty high at 52 points. You can definitely do worse than Eli this week. Okay, so here I go again talking about a quarterback who's playing on Thursday Night Football. Just a fair warning, I've been bad at projecting Thursday Night Football performances this year. Or at least it seems like I have. But I swear I was so close to talking up Big Ben on last week's podcast. Not that you guys would believe me, but it's true. But here goes. I think rankers are overrating Aaron Rodgers this week. He's being ranked as QB6, but he's traveling to Seattle for the Thursday night game, and Seattle's been pretty good against opposing quarterbacks this year. They've yet to allow a single top 10 performance, and only three teams are giving up fewer fantasy points. Now, some of that does have to do with opponent, but I think it's time we recognize that Aaron Rodgers hasn't been this elite fantasy asset this year. He has just three top 10 performances, and while he's provided a nice floor each week, six of his nine games played have resulted in fewer than 20 fantasy points scored. And then there's this interesting tweet that I saw from Oddshark last week. It noted that favorites are 103, 66, and 8 against the spread over the last 177 NFL games played on Thursday night. In other words, road teams are underperforming on Thursday night football, which doesn't bode well for the Packers, who are already 2.5-point underdogs. I obviously don't think that Aaron Rodgers is this horrendous option. It's Aaron Rodgers. But I do think it's a tough spot for him, and I see him more as a lower-end QB1 this week instead of a rock-solid one. I'm pretty down on Kirk Cousins this week as well. Chicago's been great this year defensively, and the only quarterbacks to finish with a top 16 ranking against them, so we're looking at mid-range QB2s, are Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and somehow Brock Osweiler. Brady was the only one of those quarterbacks to do it in Chicago. With Minnesota's defense looking stronger before their bye, I do worry a bit that this is going to be a lower-scoring game. So to me, Cousins is a mid-range QB2 this week, and I would definitely consider the streaming options over him. I usually don't like Alex Collins, but I think you have to this week. As of this recording, I don't know who's going to be under center for Baltimore this weekend. I do think Collins sees a boost if it's Lamar Jackson, but even if it's not, Cincinnati has been awful defensively this year. They're allowing 35 more yards per game than any other team in football. The Ravens are a 4-point favorite, and this game is being played in Baltimore. This season, Collins is averaging roughly 3.5 more points per game at home than on the road. It's a small sample size, but it's at least something to note. He should be fine in your fantasy lineup. I like Deion Lewis to sort of bounce back this week too. He's been seeing awesome usage in the Titans offense and is clearly playing as the team's top back. Even in a positive game script last week, he saw 20 carries compared to Derrick Henry's 11. He just didn't see enough goal line work, which is why we saw Henry with a pair of scores. But the matchup against Indy is interesting because the Titans may not see the type of game flow that they had in week 10 against New England. And if that's the case, Lewis will see the field a good bit as a pass catcher. And on the season, only the Chargers and Chiefs have seen a larger percentage of their total receiving yards allowed go to running backs than Indianapolis has. So yes, we have to fear Lewis's touchdown upside in any given week. But the snaps are there, the workload is there, and he should be utilized as a pass catcher if the game either is competitive or just goes south. That's why he's a good play. Indianapolis's offensive line has been one of the great stories of the 2018 season, but I still do worry about their running backs this week against Tennessee. The Titans haven't allowed a single top 10 performance to a running back this year, and on a yards per carry basis, they've been one of the best teams at defending rushes to the outside. Meanwhile, Indianapolis has sort of thrived on those rushes. They own two of the highest yards per carry rates in football when running to the perimeter. So Marlon Mack isn't a terrible play, but I do have some worries in this particular matchup. Jordan Howard, though, in my opinion, is a pretty bad play. He's become completely touchdown dependent, and even last week in an ultra-positive game script against Detroit, Howard was outsnapped by Tariq Cohen. That's not a great sign. But Howard has also seen just 5 targets over his last 6 games. And that's not great when you consider Minnesota has allowed the 7th fewest rushing yards to running backs this year. So hopefully you have a better option than Jordan Howard this week. I'm pleasantly surprised by Amari Cooper's start in Dallas. I thought he'd be more of a wide receiver 3 there, but he's proven to be more than that. He has a hefty 26.5% target share in the offense over his 2 games as a Cowboy, accounting for 18 targets. Now, he's seen plus matchups, but he'll get another good matchup this week against Atlanta, a team that's surrendered the 3rd most fantasy points per game to wide receivers. So if he continues to be fed, he should give you fantasy production. I think Larry Fitzgerald is a decent play this week against the Raiders and Leon Hall in the slot. According to Pro Football Focus, among relevant slot cornerbacks, Hall has allowed the 2nd most yards per snap in the slot this year. Fitz has seen 8, 8, 12, and 10 targets over his last 4 games. That ties him for 10th in football across a player's last 4 contests. So the volume is there, and the matchup is there too for Larry Fitzgerald. Sterling Shepard also has a great slot matchup. He didn't see a ton of volume on Monday night, but don't lose sight of the fact that Shepard has seen 7 plus targets in all but 2 games this season, and that counts Monday's game. The Buccaneers are weak in the secondary, and per Pro Football Focus's data, they've allowed the most receiving yards and touchdowns to slot receivers this year. So it's a great bounce back spot for Sterling Shepard. As a deeper option, I don't mind DJ Moore. Carolina will be playing in a domed environment as 4-point favorites in a game with a 51-point over-under, and Moore has seen 5-plus targets in 4 of his last 5 games. He's been running a good number of routes for the Panthers, and he's playing about 38% of his snaps from the slot over this 5-game stretch. Darius Slay was out last week for the Lions, and Detroit's secondary was pitiful. But even if Slay can find the field in Week 11, he may find Devin Funchess a lot more than DJ Moore. Speaking of that Week 10 game for Detroit, Allen Robinson roasted them for 133 yards and a pair of scores. It was easily the biggest game of the season for A-Rob. Unfortunately, this week he'll see Xavier Rhodes in the Vikings secondary. According to my man Brandon Gadula of NumberFire, the Vikings have allowed just 4 top 24 wide receiver games this season in half PPR formats. One of them was to Devontae Adams in Week 2, and the other 3 were to Cooper Kupp, Brandon Cooks, and Robert Woods in the same game in Week 4. So it's not an easy matchup for Allen Robinson. As for some other guys to sit, I think there are a few risky plays that still hold upside this week. You could honestly describe the Baltimore Ravens receivers just as that. They might get a quarterback who hasn't been great at throwing the ball this year in Lamar Jackson. But I guess you could say the exact same thing with Joe Flacco. But I would sit Ravens wide receivers this week if I could, despite the matchup not being bad. And then there's also Golden Tate. He has an unbelievable matchup on paper. And I think he's worthy of a start for teams that are looking for strictly upside. But he has a scary floor. And the reason for that is because he only played 29% of Philly's snaps this past week. Maybe he gets in a groove this week and feels more comfortable, but that low snap share still makes him a risky play here in week 11. At tight end, my favorite streamer is Ricky Seals-Jones. He saw 9 of 39 Josh Rosen attempts last week, and on the season, RSJ actually has the 7th highest target share in football at tight end. With Byron Leftwich as offensive coordinator, the Cardinals are finally running more plays. They've run 62.5 pass and rush attempts in the two games that he's been offensive coordinator versus fewer than 50 per game with Mike McCoy. That means that RSJ's target share is a little bit more meaningful, and Oakland's defense has allowed the 4th most points to tight ends this year, as well as the highest success rate to the position. That makes RSJ a top streaming option. One player I seem to mention each week is CJ Uzomah, and given how he's performed without Tyler Eifert and Kroft in the lineup this year, CJ Uzomah has kind of owned me. But he's running a good number of routes for the Bengals, and the matchup this week is actually kind of interesting. Baltimore has allowed the highest percentage of receiving yards to the tight end position this year. Meaning, of all the receiving yards that every team has given up, Baltimore's rate of giving them up to tight ends is highest. Maybe this is the week that CJ Uzomah finally makes me sound smart. Probably not, though. I just hate the tight end position. At defense this week, I've got one obvious streaming option and then one that's pretty risky. The obvious one is Arizona. Oakland has failed to score a touchdown in 3 of their last 4 games, and they're giving up 4.2 sacks per game over their last 5. The game's in Arizona, which is a plus, and the Cardinals are 4-point favorites. All signs point to them being a safe, good play. Now, the desperation-type option on defense this week is New Orleans. Yes, New Orleans. They're at home, but they're playing in a game with the 2nd-highest over-under on the week. But first off, I don't care a ton about points allowed for fantasy defenses. What matters more is sacks and turnovers. And Philly's allowed the 10th most sacks this season, and they've given up 2 or more in all but one game. Since Carson Wentz took over in Week 3, all but one defense, and that defense was the Giants, have finished as top 11 options against Philadelphia. It sounds crazy, but it's true. New Orleans also has a chance of playing with the lead. They're at home, and they're 8.5-point favorites. If that's the case, then that increases the chance for sacks and turnovers. So I don't think that they're a terrible option in Week 11. They're risky, but they do have some sneaky upside. And by the way, they're the cheapest defense on FanDuel this week. That's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to everyone for listening. If you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Spotify. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It's a way to give back to the podcast. I'm also on Twitter, @LateRoundQB. Thanks, everyone. I'll talk to you tomorrow with the mailbag episode.